We have quite a few scriptures to go through today, but we won't be long because they all tie in. So we're going to start at Micah chapter 6. And three verses we're going to start at, starting with the 6th verse through the 8th verse. Wherewith shall I come? Oh, I'm sorry. We all have it. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doeth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for your word. Because of your word, we can live. Amen. And that is what we want to do. We want to live in you, Lord. Forgive us for our sins. What we thought, said, and did that was not pleasing to you. Forgive us our transgressions and our iniquities. We honor you, we adore you, we magnify you, we edify you. Use me today, Heavenly Father, to encourage someone, to revive someone's spirit, to want to continually serve you. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. So the title of this message, I really don't get into titles because Brother Andy puts down whatever he feels and I'm okay with that. But if I was thinking about it, while I was thinking about it, I was like, okay. So what I want to say is, keeping it simple. Keeping it simple. We had themes. Whenever we have a special occasion, we usually put a theme on it. And that theme is so that you can reflect on what that moment meant to you. Like we have our anniversary themes, or our Women's Day themes, or our Men's Day themes. And those things, and what those themes are geared towards is for you to reflect. Go back to that time and see what it meant to you. We had a theme a couple of years ago for our church anniversary, and it was called KISS. Keep It Simple, Saints. And as I was reiterating what that meant to me, is exactly what it says, is to keep it simple. A lot of saints think about they have to be extra. They have to go above and beyond to show man how close they are to God. And that is not what it's about. We don't have to be so extravagant to show our heart and our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't take all that. It's the little things. It's the simple things. It's waking up in the morning and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over me as I slumber. It's going to the store, to the gas station, and saying, how are you today? It is calling someone and saying, I'm just checking on you. Or in the new age, text. Sending you some love today. It's the little things, those simple things that Christ would have us to do, to remain in his army. Amen? Amen. So, let's paint the picture here. In Micah, one of our minor prophets, you know, God is so awesome. Because I'm looking at, one day I was just perusing the Bible, and it says 12 minor prophets, 12 disciples. 12 is the number of divine government. So the numbers in this Bible is just awesome. Whenever you come across something that says, wow, amaze you, write it down. Write it down, because it is so significant. It is. Because he had major prophets, but and the caption was, and then there were 12 minor prophets, which meant the minor prophets was just as important as the major prophets, because they had a word from God. Amen. To give to his people at that time. So Micah here in chapter 6, Micah, God has, this is like a court case. Everybody likes Law and Order, right? I love Law and Order. The original. I like the other ones too, but the original Law and Order, my husband said, how many times did we see that one? About 10 times, but that's okay. We can watch it again. I forgot what happened at the end. No, and I remember, but I want to see it again. So, Law and Order. So this is what was going on. God has a case against Israel. And he's using Micah as his mouthpiece. So, no matter what God has done, as you can see from Genesis, and we're going to go from Genesis to Micah, the Israelites were doing the same old thing. They were being disobedient, and they were giving up empty sacrifices. What I mean by that, the burnt offerings. All of these, the sacrifice of oil, the burnt offerings and your first fruits. All of this was empty sacrifices. The reason why there were empty sacrifices, because they were still being disobedient. So they figure, if I just do this, God will forgive me. And he's like, no. No. I have done all of this for you, and you still want to come to me any old kind of way. You're going to need to cut that out. So he has a case against Israel. God says, I've been here before. I've been here pleading your case before. And if you don't recall, I brought you out of bondage of Egypt. I gave you judges. I gave you rulers. I gave you kings. And you're still doing the same old thing. I've given you what you asked me for, but you're still doing the same old thing. Now, and in verse 6 and 7, the Israelites are being real sarcastic with God in their questioning. So they like, well, should I come and bow before the high God? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, calves of a year old? I mean, God, what you want me to do? That's exactly how Israelite was thinking. That was their thinking. You know how you... And that's what I'm talking about when people think they over in abundance in their praise and their worship and all of that, showing how godly they are. Would you say, Pastor, that they're no earthly good? I'm doing all of this. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm laying hands. But you're still not, but you are being disobedient in your life. You're not following the path. You're not being the example. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? I mean, this is sarcastic questions. Thousands, ten thousands of rivers. Should I give my firstborn? Really? Should I give my body as a living sacrifice? Are you kidding me? And so he's saying, oh, wretched man, the Adamic nature, because that's who exactly was talking in verses 6 and 7, the Adamic nature. He's haughty, that haughty spirit that so many of us come across when you see people who are high on the horse or who feel as though they have arrived. That haughty spirit. That's what he said. That's what Mike said. He has showed thee, O man, the Adamic nature, your old nature. He showed you in the beginning what you need to do. But you don't want to listen. So I'm going to say it one more again. One more again. One more again. Do justly. That means to walk upright. That means to be fair. That means to be honest. That means to be real. If you see someone who is being misrepresented and someone is walking over them, it is your job to show justice. You are to stand up for them. That's what we as believers are supposed to do. Love, mercy. We know what love is. God showed us what love is when he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, for God so loved Tina. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that's what you are supposed to exemplify. Love. And what is mercy? Withheld punishment.
Come on now.
That means all of us deserve to be punished.
Amen.
And guess what else? He says to walk humbly before God. That means you are to stay in the relationship with him. See, in the Old Testament, that's how you built up a proper relationship with God. You did justly, love mercy, and walked humbly. That's what you did in the Old Testament. That was before Christ. Now, that was your personal and proper relationship before Christ. Now, when Christ comes on the scene, because you know it's some years ago, right? Between Micah and Christ coming. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Verse 23. Now Jesus is on the scene. So we know what we were supposed to do before Christ. Now Jesus is on the scene. And he is reiterating the law. Because remember, Jesus says he come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And he has to fulfill the scriptures. So what he is saying here, now in chapter 23 of Matthew, Jesus is now exposing all of these Sadducees and Pharisees. These are those individuals that I tell you that walk like they have arrived. They so holier than thou that they are no earthly good. Well, Jesus, chapter 23, Jesus is exposing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay? So, and they're talking about everything that you do. You're doing one thing and you're doing another. You're saying one thing and you're doing another. Saying one thing and doing another. So verse 23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not leave the other undone. So you come in here, you bring in your tithes and your offerings, but you're not showing no love, you're not showing no mercy, and you're not showing your faith. That is more weightier than you giving a tenth. See, you can't do one without the other. They go together.
Right.
See, in the Old Testament, they felt as though they can give sacrificial offerings. But God didn't want that because they were still disobedient. So, you can't sacrifice without being obedient. And that's what they were doing in the Old Testament. And that's what they were still doing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now that Jesus is on the scene, he was like, what are y'all doing? Y'all talking all this stuff about the law, and y'all not even fulfilling the law. And the law was to have justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That was the law. We have to make sure that we are lining ourselves up with what God would have us to do.
Amen.
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 Amen. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and he says, you still don't get it. I'm trying to save you, Jerusalem. But you're still not getting it. So because I'm telling you what the Father is saying, and you won't accept me, guess what? You won't hear back from me until I come back again. And then that's when the doors open up for the Gentiles to receive the word of God. That's when the Gentiles, when the doors open up for us to be able to receive and to be heirs.
Amen.
We were predestined. We were chosen. We were called. He knew this already. But guess what? We still had to go through the process. You still got to go through the process. Just like you know, like, my husband. I know for a fact that my husband loves me.
Amen.
I know that for a fact. But he still got to go through the process. And I do too. He knows I love him, but I still have to go through the process.
Yeah.
I can't just talk about it. I got to be about it.
Yes.
He can't just talk about it. He has to be about it. Amen?
Yeah.
Even though you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, you still have to go through the process. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, so we have before Christ, Christ is on the scene, and he's reminding these religious leaders that you are still out of order. You're still out of order. You're up in this temple and going through the synagogues, going flying around willy-nilly, God is, and swinging the smoke and all this other stuff, and hell is enlarging itself by you. So, Jesus says, I'm leaving. I came and did what I had to do. But when he left, before he left, he told us what he was going to do. He told us why he came. And then once he left, he said, don't forget. That's why we have the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us to call it to remembrance.
Yeah.
We have to remember. Let's not forget to keep it simple. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, we go to our last book, Romans chapter 12. We're keeping it simple.
Amen.
Before Christ, and then Christ reminds us, and then Apostle Paul, through the Holy Ghost, reiterates it to us about us acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start at the 6th verse. So, because we have the instructions from God through Jesus, with the Holy Ghost reminding us from Paul. And you know, chapter 12 talks about us being a living sacrifice. You still cannot worship and serve Christ, Jesus, because he is our risen Savior, without obedience. You have to be obedient to the word.
Yeah.
You have to know who you are and whose you are. So here in Romans chapter 12, Paul is telling us about being a living sacrifice. So in being a living sacrifice, guess what else he tells us? He tells us about the gift that we have. Starting at verse 6. Chapter 12, starting at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let me just stop right there. There are special gifts that we have that God has given us. Special gifts that he has given us according to grace. So we know what mercy is. Mercy is withheld punishment. But grace is unmerited favor. So when you are walking and you say, all the days of my life, grace and mercy shall follow me, they're going to be with you at all times. So because of this special gift that God has embodied in us, we have to make sure that we exemplify these special gifts that God has embedded in us. Now, these special gifts that he has given us are in grace. We are to use them in the body of Christ. That means our fellow believers. It's not so much that we do it outside. We have to do it outside. But more importantly, doing it outside, we are commanded to do it inside. I am out of order if I go outside and I sit up there and I tell everyone on the block about how good God is, and my brother right here is in need and I ignore him. I'm out of order. I'm not operating in the special gift that God has given me. So, here's the special gifts. Special gifts, these special gifts are God's method of diversity to create unity. Everyone thinks that because they have a special gift, they should stand alone. And you can't. You're not supposed to. He gave everyone individual gifts to show diversity. But you can't have diversity if you don't have no unity. We are to operate within the body of Christ. That's why he gave it to us under grace, so that we can operate under him. We are not supposed to go out there by ourselves willy-nilly and think we're doing this all on our own.
Right.
You're not supposed to. That is not why he's giving you this gift. And you say, you keep talking about gifts. We got gifts all through the epistles. He tells us about our gifts. But our special gifts of grace that he gives us. Going back to chapter 12, go back to verse 6, the second part. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Going to 9. Love. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honoring, preferring one another. 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, when he started talking about your prophecy, these are the gifts that he had, the special gifts he's talking about. He's talking about prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, and showing mercy. So if you're going to prophesy, a lot of people think that prophesying A lot of people who want to hear prophecy is they put the person somewhere where they want to be. They think that the prophecy comes from man, and it doesn't. It comes from God. And when you prophesy, you are edifying the church. Your prophecy comes from edifying the church. You are to strengthen, encourage, and comfort one another. Amen. When you prophesy, that is a gift of grace. When you serve, any kind of service that you do, you are to serve with the hopes of touching lives. It is not supposed to be a chore to serve others. So as we go out and do our ministry, as we serve upstairs, as we serve one another in our restoration ministry, we do it with delight. We do it with gladness. The ladies come up here, they're packing up all of the bags of toiletries, and they are having a good time. They are enjoying serving because they know they're going to touch someone. That is a special gift. Everybody can't serve. Everybody doesn't want to serve. That is a special gift of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Teaching. Teaching is also a special gift. And boy, do we have some gifters up here.
Amen.
Pastor Keys.
Yeah.
Pastor Gardner. Pastor Rutherford. They are awesome teachers. That word that they break, this word right here, that's broken down, it doesn't come from their flesh. It doesn't come from our flesh. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And you have to have a learnable spirit in order to be able to teach. So you have to be able to bring it in order to give it out. And that's what we as believers have to understand. Teaching is a spiritual gift. Because it's your food. They're giving you food from the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, as our teachers show us what to do as born-again believers, they also tell us Don't just take their word for it. You have to study for yourself. So just like you're in school and they give you an assignment, and what do? They give you a test to make sure that you've learned everything that you learned. But guess what? Before you had that test, you had to go back and study yourself. That's still the word of God. And that's still in the book of life. No matter what we tell you up here, or no matter what we share with you up here, you still have to go back and study it for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And encourage you. So a teacher shows you how to do it, and then an encourager helps you to do it. So, the gift of encouragement. You know, Sister Sherry is such an encourager. I know that's one of her gifts. Because she will encourage you. If you down here, you will be up here by the time she finished. And it's not always saying something. Her smile. But that's who we are supposed to be. All of us. Amen?
Amen.
And then contributing. Some people in the ministry, do y'all know that giving is a gift? Some people love to give. They really do. And they don't want to do nothing else but give. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because it says if you do, you're supposed to give. Give generously. Give cheerfully. Amen?
Amen?
We are. That is a gift. Everybody, and see, are you hearing this? The diversity of the gifts of grace? These diversities? This is what makes up the body. Oh, everybody got a different part. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Everybody is doing something different. And then leadership. You cannot lead unless you know how to follow. So, in leadership, we are, Pastor, our senior pastor, Dennis Gardner, is such an awesome leader.
Yeah.
And he leads because, and it's not that he's only leading us, but he's leading himself to Christ. He is being an example. In order for him to lead, he has to be able to follow someone.
Amen.
And he followed Pastor Hart. Now, there's a difference in ministry, but it's leadership is still leadership. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So in knowing that he followed the pattern, the example of how to lead a congregation to Christ. And that's what he's doing today. He's leading us to Christ in our own personal relationship. See the diversity of the gifts? Amen. Showing mercy. We all do this. The aged, the sick, the elderly. We have to show mercy to them. That is what we're supposed to do. Now, mind you, we do it out there, but we got to make sure we do it here at home as well.
Amen.
We have to make sure that everything that we're doing outside these walls, we're doing them inside these walls as well.
Amen.
We have to make sure that we are operating in our gifts amongst the body of believers. It's not effective if we are not doing it at home first. We don't want to show no love at home, but we want to give all the love outside. That is ineffective. And it is not efficient. And it's going to fall on hollow ground. So you have got to make sure that everything that we are required, that Christ is requiring of us, we got to start at home first.
Amen.
You got to do it at home first. I mean, you know, Liberty Temple, we don't have that problem. Because we love on everybody all the time, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's why I love my church.
Amen.
I tell everybody, I love my church. For real? Yeah, girl, we have a good time up in there. We do. We love on each other. We laugh with each other. We laugh with the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. supposed to have a good time when you come to church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not having a good time to come to church, something wrong.
Amen.
Did you bring that good time with you? Supposed to bring it with you now. Amen?
Amen.
But it's the different gifts of grace that we have that Paul is telling us to make sure that you do it at home before you take it out there in the streets. You have to be accountable for each other. We are believers. The unity starts here.
Yeah.
It starts here. We can't branch out trying to get somebody else if we're not doing what we're doing at home. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And then in verse 9, when he's talking about love, he's talking about love in action.
Yeah.
Don't just talk about it. Be about it. I love you. Am I showing you that I love you? Am I giving the love of Christ, the unconditional love? Am I doing that? That's what we ask ourselves before you go to bed at night. You look in the mirror and say, Lord, did I do what you had me to do today? That's what we're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The gifts of grace are not for us to keep. It is to be given freely with joy in our hearts. And we have to start at home. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The social responsibility of a Christian is not just to meet the people out there, but it's to meet the people, our own people. That's why it's what he's talking about in verse 13. Distributing the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. This is all I said. And we got to keep it simple. It don't take a whole lot. But let's just be simple with it. We simple with our love. We simple with our diversity of our gifts of grace. And when we keep it simple, everything else falls the way it's supposed to. We don't have to be so extravagant. We're not a mega church. We don't have to be mega. You know why we don't have to be mega? Because our God is mega.
Amen.
Amen.
Why we gotta be mega down here? He is mega up there, and he is gone all over the churches. That means the 10-member church, the 50-member church, the 100-member church, the 1,000-member church, the 10,000-member church. It don't matter. It does not matter. Our God is mega. And he is awesome. So, what we gonna do is we gonna be responsible for each other here on this corner of 7 Mile and Russell. We gonna be responsible for each other here while we're out there doing our ministries. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Every day we ask the Lord to use us to encourage someone today. Use us to enlighten someone today. Father, bind my tongue so that I would say the things that you would have me to say. Because
right.
Sometimes some people will take you to where you know you shouldn't go there. But you got to be prayed up. And that starts in the morning. And your children as well. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Life is life, and life is good. And because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are who we are in him. Amen?
Amen.
We are nothing without him. We can do nothing without him. So let's remember to keep it simple. Let's remember the spiritual gifts that are given to us of grace that we are supposed to use to edify the body of Christ. We are all the body. We have all different parts, but we work together. There is diversity and unity. And it takes unity for your diversity. So we cannot do this by ourselves. None of us are alone in this. I am here for you, and I am so grateful that you are here for me. And that's how we are supposed to carry our torch for one another in the body of Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Remember, we are a living sacrifice. And that's what we're supposed to do. Everyone stand to your feet.